Rendezvous, South Atlantic. Written by Douglas Riemann and read by David Rintoul.
Chapter 1, Scapa. The camouflaged Humber staff car ground to a halt, its front bumper within feet of the jetty's edge, and stood vibrating noisily, as if eager to be off again. The small Wren driver, muffled to the ears against the intense cold, made to switch off the windscreen wipers, saying, "Well, here you are, sir. There'll be a boat across at any minute." She turned slightly as the car's only passenger said, "Don't switch them off. Not yet." Oblivious to her curious stare, Commander Andrew Lindsay leant forward to peer through the rain-slashed glass, his face outwardly devoid of expression. Grey. Everything was grey. The misty outline of the islands, the sky, and the varied shapes of the ships as they tugged at their cables in the wind and rain. The waters of the great natural anchorage of Scapa Flow were the deeper colour of lead, the only life being that of swirling tide race and the turbulent undertow. Scapa. That one word was enough. To thousands of sailors in two world wars it spoke volumes. Damp and cold, raging gales and seas so fierce as to need every ounce of skill to fight clear of rocks and surrounding islets. As his eyes moved slowly across the anchored ships, he wondered what his new command would be like. You could never tell, in spite of your orders, your searching through manuals and intelligence reports. Even at the naval headquarters in Kirkwall they had been unhelpful. HMS Benbecula, an armed merchant cruiser, had been fitted out for 6 months, and now lay awaiting her new captain. On the stormy crossing by way of the Pentland Firth from the Scottish mainland, he had seen about a dozen young seamen watching him, their inexperienced eyes filled with, what, curiosity, hope, or, like himself, resignation. One thing was certain, they had all been as green as grass, in more ways than one, for within minutes of casting off, most of them had been violently seasick. And this was only September, the second September of the war. The Wren driver studied his profile and wondered. Her passenger was about 33 or 34. When she had picked him up at the HQ buildings, she had seen him staring moodily at the glistening street and had sensed a sudden throb of interest. And that was unusual in Scapa. The Wrens were vastly outnumbered by the mail services, and it had become hard to raise much excitement over one more newcomer. Yet there was something different about this one, she decided. He had fair hair, longer than usual for a regular officer, and his blue eyes were level and extremely grave, as if he were grappling with some constant problem, trying to come to a decision, as he was at the moment, as he stared over this hateful view. He had that latent touch of recklessness about him which was appealing to her, but at the same time seemed withdrawn, even lost. He said quietly, "You can switch them off now. Thank you." Lindsay settled down in the seat, pulling his greatcoat collar about his ears. Grey and cold, greedy and impatient to test him again. He knew the girl was watching him, and wondered idly what she was like under all those shapeless clothes and scarves. In her 20s, probably, like most of the Wrens he had seen in the warm rooms of the HQ building. He smiled grimly. In her 20s. He had entered the Navy as a 12-year-old cadet in 1920, 21 years ago. All that time without a break, working and studying, travelling and learning his trade. His smile vanished. Just for this. Command of some clapped-out merchant ship, which, because of a few guns and a naval crew, was classed as a warship. An armed merchant cruiser. Even the title sounded crazy. "I think I can see a boat coming, sir." He started, caught off guard. All at once he felt the returning anxiety and uncertainty. If only he was going back to sea in a destroyer again. Any destroyer would do. Even one like the old Venger. But he must stop thinking like that. Venger was gone, lying on the seabed in mid-Atlantic. He saw the distant shape of the motorboat, her blurred outlines scurrying above the white moustache of her bow wave. Soon now.